The male wolf spider slowly makes his entrance, creeping into the female's line of sight. He takes his time, careful to ensure she doesn't mistake him for prey. Once he's come close enough for her to notice, our brave suitor begins his dance. His legs begin to pick up speed, shaking and waving and tapping the ground beneath him. He hopes it's enough. The spider edges his way towards the female and attempts to mount her. She eats him. Hi, my name is Noah, and welcome to We Eat What We Love. Today, we'll be talking about the ins and outs of sexual cannibalism, who's doing it, and how to get involved.
What?
No, I'm kidding. We're talking strictly non-humans today. Aww. Sexual cannibalism in animals is broadly defined as the consumption of a sexual partner before, during, or after mating. We know it happens. We don't know why. Cannibalistic mating behaviors have been observed in all kinds of species, from spiders to snakes to the more popular cannibal, the praying mantis. Many theories have been raised about the evolutionary reasons for cannibalistic mating behavior, but none have really been conclusive, yet. Why have species evolved to eat their mates? Seems a bit counterintuitive to the whole survival thing. We're going to be talking through some of the answers to this question today. The first major reason as to why various animals developed cannibalistic mating behaviors is for simple nutritional value. They eat because there's food in front of them, an easy meal, dinner and a show. They're probably more likely to do so if they're particularly hungry, but the claim is that these animals eat their mates for the same reasons they would eat anything else. Studies seem to have disproved this theory, though, at least insofar as it can be considered all-encompassing. A team led by S.K. Schwartz recently found that female dark fishing spiders lay more, larger eggs and have better surviving children when they consume their mates. This was not found for spiders fed a similarly sized cricket to eat after mating, suggesting that there's more to the story than just calorie intake. This finding suggests that sexual cannibalism improves the likelihood of successful reproduction, at least for some species. Post-copulatory cannibalism could be a way for animals to get the energy they need to incubate their fertilized eggs. Having kids takes a lot of work. Seems like having a big meal helps. Another apparent evolutionary reason for cannibalistic mating behavior is mate rejection. Many cannibalistic species have a very aggressive male mating tactic, and eating these guys might literally be the best way for these females to just get rid of them. Interesting defense strategy. The consequences of these behaviors might give us a little bit more insight into the reasons for them, so let's take a minute to think about what they might be. Any ideas? The obvious place to look is male sexual selection strategies. When a bunch of your buddies keep getting eaten up by their lady friends, it makes sense that you might start being a little bit more careful with who you cozy up to. The male praying mantis, for example, prefers larger females. This is maybe because larger females are assumed to be well-fed, and therefore less likely to be up for an extra snack. Female mating behaviors have influenced male preferences. Another strategy that seems to have developed in response to cannibalistic tendencies is for males to mount females either during or directly after a female is observed eating her prey, or even while she eats or mates with another male. That's right, spider threesomes. Female wolf spiders attack mates in 27% of their encounters and are cannibalistic in 7%. Given that females can be 5 times larger than male wolf spiders, can't really blame them for trying to even the playing field out a bit. Pick someone on your own size, honestly. Going back to our earlier point about size-based sexual selection strategies, there seems to be size-based mating strategies as well. Smaller wolf spiders, for instance, are more likely to put on a courting display, like the one described in our story at the beginning of the episode, while larger and stronger males may favor a more direct approach. This kind of direct approach is what got our little buddy earlier eaten. So, why does sexual cannibalism exist? We talked about 3 reasons. A, because hunger exists. B, because the nutrients improve the likelihood of successful reproduction. Or C, because sometimes it's easier to just eat the guy than telling him you're not interested. Have the results solved the problems? Do the effects of sexual cannibalism match up with its evolutionary goals? Let's start with our first reason, hunger. If sexual cannibalism exists exclusively to help females get access to food, then why do predators like the praying mantis engage in this behavior? Simple answer, it's more than just hunger. Great, moving on. Second reason, for the sake of reproductive success. Sexual cannibalism exists to help species reproduce successfully, to increase the population. But wouldn't it be more effective for the males to live on to mate with other partners then? Maybe. But maybe the species that engage in this behavior are more likely to successfully reproduce by literally giving their lives to one partner, as opposed to living past the encounter to mate with others. Maybe there's something in their flesh, their blood, that's so helpful to successful reproduction that giving it to a female to eat is worth dying for. But maybe not. Third reason, rejection. Sometimes males are too aggressive, too direct. Sometimes there's only one way to survive, and sometimes survival is dependent on causing others harm. Sexual cannibalism as a form of mate rejection is not necessarily evolutionarily beneficial. It doesn't contribute to the reproductive cycle of the species. It stops it. So, what do you think? Why does sexual cannibalism exist? One of the reasons I mentioned? More than one? A recent study at the University of Cincinnati found incredible variability in the courtship behaviors of wolf spiders, meaning they had a style to it, a personality. Apparently, and I saved this little fun fact for the end, despite only having around 100,000 neurons, spider brains can take up to 80% of their bodies, sometimes spilling into their legs. They may be small, but they're by no means simple. So the next time you're sitting around thinking about how stupid spiders are, as one does, remember that our brains are so small they fit in our heads. And maybe that means something.